Now, could you contrast for us Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh yesterday, socially, culturally, politically, and environmentally, in any way that you haven't covered already?
Well, environmentally, when Pittsburgh was cleaned up, I remember my husband wore three shirts a day because he went out in the morning, then he came home, and then he couldn't get the white out, and so that was not my fault. Politically, I don't think anything's as good as it was. Now, that might be nostalgia. But I don't think any of the politics. They're a bunch of, I mean, Newquay's a big pig. And the rest, I just don't know. I don't think we always had politics that weren't kosher. But now they seem to be so ugly and so drawn out. Mm-hmm. What else did you ask politically?
Culturally?
Well, culturally, we have a lot of culture. But you know what? We always did. When I would leave Pittsburgh, and I would say, I'll go back, I don't want to live any place else. That place, and still today, people say, did you come clean from Pittsburgh? Now that doesn't make any sense at all. That's mm-hmm. just somebody who doesn't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I can't say, well, the whole world has changed, so we've got to change with it. But not really that much difference.
What about socially?
Well, I'm not as social as I used to be because I don't get around. I drove all the years, and all the years that I drove, anybody who was going, I just picked them up and went.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do that anymore. I still go to the theater when I can. As I said, I've given up a lot of things I have. I've given up the opera, and I've given up the concerts and things like that. But a friend of mine gave me a ticket to the first opera. And another friend gave me two tickets for the second opera. One of my other friends said, how do you know these people to give you tickets? I said, well, they think they know I'll use them.
Mm-hmm.
So I go when I can.
Mm-hmm.
And if my daughter can go with me, that's fine. And if not, I went to the play 2 weeks ago over on the north side of Pittsburgh Public.
Mm-hmm.
And I took access over, and she was able to come. So you do the best you can.
Yeah. How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community now?
Well, I was very active when my kids were in there, and I'm not now. I still think, read the Chronicle and you'll see what's going on.
Yeah.
So there's lots going on. Another thing, I hate to keep saying this all the time, but I don't have money to give for the things that I'd like to give. So if it's money, if money's involved, I just stay.
So in other words, you think it's as rich now as it had been when you were raising your own family?
Well, how can you compare when you were in the middle of it when you were raising them? Although now my daughter's daughter teaches at the Rosh Hashanah, and they're all interested. They're particularly Jewish, they could care less, but she teaches there, she can. And so she gets enough money from that, good money, to do what she has to do. And the boy works over at the Dollar Bank over in Waterworks. So he's getting a good education and money,
mm-hmm.
and he gets paid, so he has that. So, but I can't judge. Because they were very much involved. My husband didn't care, but I was. Oh, I think that's ridiculous. I know everything else. But he called this morning and he said, you know, they're playing my piece for the ballet. And I said, oh, that's nice. Which night do you want tickets? I said, are you paying for them? And he said, well, of course. I said, okay, then get them. Friday was probably the best because Thursday's no good. We'll be out Thursday for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday, my daughter doesn't work on Friday. And she hasn't been well at all. She's a big worry. So I said, then we'll try to get them for Friday. And then she gets a chance to stay home a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to look at the paper. I wasn't going to tell him. I didn't know what he's talking about.
All right. What other information would you like to cover or add? Can you think of anything?
Like what?
Anything like honors, awards, publications?
Mm-hmm.
Anything, well, even if it's not pertaining to you personally, if it's to do with your family.
Well, they have their publications. I mean, each one does it for whatever he does. And my middle son, who's the ophthalmologist, is very much interested in cornea transplants and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And periodically he sends me his papers, and he's internationally known now, so that's very nice. And David, you know, long struggle, but he's finally got to me to talk, so that's wonderful. Now, my daughter isn't well. I mean, she would only straighten herself out or get straightened out. That would make me complete.
Is she working?
Oh, yeah, she works at St. Francis. She's a social worker, psychiatric social worker. And it's so, first of all, such tension, and on top of that, her husband. So she has to do the whole thing herself. And it's really, she's doing a wonderful, wonderful job, but she's tired. And as I said before, I find it very difficult because I can't even help her to go get the kids or do anything like that for her.
How old is the youngest one now?
He's 12. And he and I, he says we don't get along. Well, we argue because I don't let him get away with stuff. And he told his mother, he said, you know what, I really do love Grandma, but I have to, I can't get along with her because I have to keep her on her toes. So I said, well, you know what, put on your ballet slippers and go down your own toes. Don't bother.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
That's just about everything.
Thank you very much. It's been really enjoyable. It's just stuff that's
happened. Okay, after my husband died again, here we are with money again. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend at Pitt, and I went down and talked to him, and I was his name, Dr. Eaton, and I said, Dr. Eaton, you got to help me. That's all. Somebody has to help me. Somebody has to do something for me. And he said, all right. And I had never worked since I was married outside the home. So he said, all right, I can't do anything for you because you really have to come in the front door. But you do what you can. And on the back, you say what you have done. And I've done all of them. So I was able to say, you know, like the head of this or the head of that or something. So he said, all right, now we're going to try. So I got a job at Pitt.
Mm.
And I worked there. I worked at the Graduate School of International and Public Affairs. And if you'll see when you go out, there's a whole case full of dolls. The warm students were wonderful. When they went home, they always brought me a doll. So those are my daughters, but they always did. So I worked there, but I could see, I thought between taking early retirement at 62 and working part-time, because at that time I was still able to, I was going to be glory, and I was going to have time for myself. Didn't work out that way. That was the year that everything went kaput. And so I did work at Pitt. I was on their list for other jobs, part-time jobs. And I did. I did a lot of work that way, and then I worked in different places, and I had I was a good typist, so I was able to use my hands then, so that was good. And I did whatever I could do. But there was one job I was on, and they asked me, since I had nobody at home, they had to call outside the city. And none of the young people wanted to call at night. They don't want to be bothered. I said, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. So they gave me a telephone number, and I had my typewriter, and I did all the work at night. And then during the day, I went gallivanting. So that's how I happened to do that. That was a bare wall. And I thought, that's silly to look at a bare wall. Look at all the kids I have on there. And the funny thing is that when the young ones come, they're very upset. Where am I? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, most of them were just a twinkle in somebody's eye. But that's what I did, and I did a lot of that, and then after that, I can't do anything now. And most of the stuff that I did in any medical field, I did as a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
But the last couple of times they've called me, they've paid me. It's been wonderful. I was in a sleep program. I went to sleep at the Western site for 3 nights. I went down there at 8 o'clock at night and stayed overnight,
mm-hmm.
and then went home in the morning. One day I stayed there all day and went home in the afternoon. And that was good too, because I could take access. My daughter could take me down,
mm-hmm.
because it was 8 o'clock at night and she didn't have to worry about my being out in the dark. And then coming back, came by ship, come by access or whatever. And that's been interesting. And I like stuff like that. I think, what's going on? You know what I call that? Mixing spin.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a little bit of a cough raffle.
Is that your daughter over there in the brown frame?
No, that's my granddaughter.
That's your granddaughter.
Yeah, my daughter's over there. That's from two.
Oh,
that's
my daughter.
That's my granddaughter, and then this is my son's oldest son and David's daughter. Right here, they were the same age. I a lot of people come in and say, oh my goodness, that's not the style to have pictures of them. It's my style.
Are those your parents over there? Against them?
No, but I can show you my parents. Interested in all the young people. And when she died and they came to the funeral, I said to Rachel, what are all these young people doing here? They're your friends. And she said, oh no, they like grandma. My mother used to sit out, she lived on in Squirrel Hill, and she used to sit out on the stoop and she'd stop all the kids. So were you good today? Are you making good grades? You know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they all knew. This is my mother and father when they were sort of kind of young. And this was when they were not so young. My father was a very, very nice little man. Very nice, very quiet. My mother had a big mouth. And then this is David's kid. This is in Israel. Nice memories, very good memories.
This is Jeff.
Yeah.
And Rachel.
This is Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
This is and that's the, I don't know, we have to make a decision.
It's Caesarea, I think.
Maybe, probably. And they all happen to be there at the same time. So.
Okay.
Yeah. They're good kids, they're all good. I appreciate Jeff especially because he is very busy and he never lets a week go by without calling. You know, so what do you want? I just want to know how you're doing. Oh, okay, goodbye. Well, they're all very, 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 very nice. Sarah called me last week from New York and Rachel called the week before. So it's been really good. I have no complaints. Life has been good. The only thing we'd never had was money, but somehow or other we seemed to, I don't know, we'd pack in this little wee car, you couldn't move, and you'd pack into a tent, and you couldn't get out of line in the tent, because if you got out of line, you couldn't get back in. Or if you did get out and you couldn't get back in, and somebody else had to move over, so not a bit. And we only had one car, and we had five drivers on one car, and I said, I think that they learned that you have to take your turn and you take your turn. And if you don't get back in time, you don't get it the next time because nobody's going to come back for you. So I think a lot you wanted to know about raising kids. And I think I think what happened was that a lot of the things that they learned, I had nothing to do with. I mean, they learned them because it was of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, when we lived on this street, there was one car for three houses. Now there are three cars for one house.
Yes.
So that's what I say. That has nothing to do with me. That's how it's changed. And if you don't have a car, oh heavens.
What about security? How do you feel about that on the house?
Doesn't matter. In fact, we keep saying the same thing again and again and again. My cellar windows are just plain glass. And all you have to do is just take, wrap a stone up and if they want to come in, they're going to come in. They're going to go. I mean, I can't. You can't live like that. I'm by myself, and you just simply can't. Now I don't go out at night. And I'm not afraid to go at night, but I don't walk too well, and my eyes are not too good. And the sidewalks are broken up. But I do go by access, and they are wonderful. Oh, I have nothing but praise for them. So they're late a little bit, so what, where am I going? Yeah. In fact, I was going to call today or tomorrow and see. I think my son wanted me to have it as soon as he comes because he wanted to be here. I said, I don't need you to come.
The cataract.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that it took years before they ripened or came to fruition or whatever they come to. And now all of a sudden it's fast. So I have to call and check. I have to have an. She said I have a woman doctor, and she said I had to have a physical before. So I'll check and see when the physical is. And I think that he's coming on the 25th because, as I said before, the planes will take him the 25th. And I think I'll have them on the 26th. So if things go well, by the 27th or 28th, I should be able to get them.
You know. You'll do both at once or just one?
I don't think so. I don't know. My mother had them done it once. My mother did, and the only reason she didn't have them while she was in the operating room was that she developed a cold. Mm-hmm. So they kept her in the hospital, so they were 3 days apart. That's all. I don't think so either. No. But I'm not going to wait too long. I think the other will be ready too. When he was in Tunisia, my daughter and I went. So we went in Tunisia, he was in a town called Sfax. So we went to Tunis and Sfax, and we were there a whole month. They were glad to see us because he lived there with three other young men. So they just went out and they just left. One of them left the bedroom for us. And she's a good cook. I'm not, but she is. So we used to do the shopping. Oh, they were glad to see us. They didn't have to cook. And so that was very nice, yeah. And then that year we spent in Paris, right in Paris. It was really interesting.
There was something else you mentioned just a few minutes back that we thought we should record. Do you remember what that was? As we started to look at the photograph?
You know, they were there a whole year, then I never learned to say a word.
You didn't learn.
I went to the Alliance Française, and I could understand. And when we came back, I could listen to the political speeches and understood every word. But I no. One of the reasons I use this as an excuse anyway. One of the reasons was that when the kids came home, this is what I learned today. Oh my, please. We had enough listening what you learned today. So we spoke English in the house. And what did I need? Whether they should learn. But it was very interesting. It was an interesting year. And, you know, people don't like the French people. We never had any problem with them. Well, they're, of course, not. Yeah.
You mean for people who don't?
They want you to say precisely the way they say. They don't say English precisely right. But we had no problem at all. I never had any problem with money or anything. And we didn't live right in town. We lived out a little bit. And the grocery people just treated me so well. And I had trouble with the money at first. And I'd put my hand out and take it and put the change in. Never a bit of trouble.
Did you travel a lot while you were in France?
Yeah. The last 6 weeks before we could have a car. And 6 weeks before we left, my husband left it up to the kids. He said, would you like to make a long trip and visit a lot of places quickly? Or would you like to stop places for a longer period of time? And they all said, no, quickly, we'll go back. Mm-hmm. And they all did. Mm-hmm. So we went from France, and we went into Italy, and then we went clear through the Brenner Pass. And we were there one day before the wall went up in Berlin. And the travel agent that we talked to at that time said, watch, something very, very dramatic is going to happen the next day. And then we went up in the Scandinavian countries and all the way back down. We traveled about 10,000 miles. But when I say now, we spent $35 a day for food, shelter, gasoline, and everything for six people.
Mm. Okay. What year was that?
That was in 61. Of course, we did it very cheaply, but even so, that was even cheaper than cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We knew how to do things cheap enough, but we did it. And, you know, I say now, you want to know how I feel about some of the things now. Nowadays, I feel like, thank goodness I didn't say, well, we'll wait until you retire.
Mm-hmm.
We never waited, mm-hmm. and we went.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, Pitt had some wonderful, wonderful trips. So I went to Egypt on one trip with them, and we went into the hotel we stayed in was right near the pyramids. I used to go out and say good morning, good evening. We things like that. That was nice.
What year was that?
Yeah, that must have been. I'm not sure about those dates because as we came closer, but they must have been 76 maybe. You know, went down into the Valley of the Kings and all the things you see and think about. And, yeah. And then I had a friend who wasn't well, but I wanted her to go with me anyway, and she kept saying, well, if I go with you, what if something happens? She got angina. And I said to her, well, if I go with you, what'll happen? So we did go, and we had a wonderful, wonderful trip. And we went into the East Africa. And, you know, you'd be riding along, and these ostriches would come running along beside you, and the elephants, and real things that went with them. Oh, really, I've had an interesting life.
Thank you very, very much.
I know, I don't do too much. And Bobby was still here, so we went. We went by train. And it was wonderful because he stayed with me. I mean, sort of held onto my hand. And he could tell if I was getting too tired. We just hopped into a cab.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't even get my leg up to get it on the bus. So, but I've done everything. So if I've done all those things, I can't complain too much. I really can't.